Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and to our online family. Anybody ready for 2026? Yeah. Amen. Well, before then, we've got one more Sunday. And so welcome to the last Sunday of 2025. And we're going to continue in our series, The Visitation. And we're going to read another visitation, another passage that happens around the Christmas story, but it's a reminder that Jesus wants to even visit us after the Christmas season. Amen. How many of you want to keep being visited by God? Yes. His visitations should never end. Amen? Amen. So I want to get right into the passage in Matthew chapter 2. The title of today's message is The Wise Men's Visitation. And like I said, we're going to read a familiar passage, but I want you to read along with me. You can read on the screen or you can read in your Bible. If you're watching online at home, it'll be on the screen for you there. Matthew chapter 2 says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, also known as wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem, in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Everybody say, shepherd. "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." Everybody say, another route. I don't know about you, but this past week I had a number of earthly visitations. We've all had people come to our houses or go to people's houses for Christmas, but for me, I was, we had family over, but the most frequent of visitations in my house were package deliveries. I don't know about you, but I was a little, not terribly, but a little behind the ball on my Christmas shopping, and so the 23rd and even up to the 24th, I was frantically awaiting visitations from FedEx and USPS and UPS and all the like. And we have a camera on our front door, and I usually just put the notifications from our front door camera on silent. I don't need to see all that. But this week I turned the notifications on, and I was like an addict just looking every time that chime came. Because I was like, is this the delivery that I've been waiting for that gift for my wife? Is this the delivery I've been waiting for this? And what I noticed is that there were three types of visitations that came to my house. There were good ones, there were bad ones, and there were absent ones. There were a number of packages that I was just waiting and waiting, waiting, and they still haven't come. And look, I just want to say this, and I want to encourage you to try and have the same mindset. I don't get bent out of shape because for FedEx and UPS and the post office, for them to deliver one thing to my house, there's got to be a lot of things that go right. So anytime something shows up, I'm just like, that is an everyday miracle. I will take it. So when it doesn't, I'm just like, okay, I waited too long. It's my fault. And so there were some absent ones. There were some good ones, some expected good ones, but then some unexpected good ones. I would, my wife is pregnant right now. We're expecting in March. Yeah. And my mom is, I think, addicted to sending packages to our house for our future daughter. And so my living room is full of boxes that need to be put together that I'm so excited to put together. And I'm terrible at reading the instructions. I just do it however I think. So all of those packages would come, and I would think, oh, that's what I've been waiting for. And I would be put at ease, and then I come home, and it's not what I was expecting. Yeah. Yeah. There was another one. We had an Instacart delivery. They delivered the groceries, and then they stole something from my front porch. No way. And I was like, talk about a trade-off. I don't know which one I'll take the groceries. Great, I need those. So in this passage, we see a good visitation. We see God. We see the angel speaking to the Magi, sending them a star as a guide. And then we see a threat of a visitation from a king who's threatened, who says, hey, show me where they're going. And the wise men, instead of going back to Herod, they hear from God and they say, go another way. God's visitation will not only lead you to what's good, they will protect you from what's bad. They will protect you from what is meant to harm you. And in this story, there's kind of a double emphasis in how God leads us. There's kind of like two ways. And God always visits us to lead us, and he came to lead us. So when he visits the Magi, he's not just visiting them. It's not just like, hey, I'm popping over to say hi. No, he's leading them. Everybody say, God leads us. God wants to lead you in the end of 2025, and he wants to lead you all throughout 2026. He wants to visit you. He wants to encounter you for the purpose of leading you. It's not just visiting you and saying hi and leaving. No. He's got plans for you, and he wants to lead you into those plans. So this is the way that God leads the Magi. Number one, he gives them a picture. He gives them a visible sign, a vision. The star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. We get signs from God. We get pictures. We get visions. The purpose of that is to wake us up. It's to get our attention. If you follow God, there are times where God tries to get your attention. Before he starts to lead you to a place, sometimes we say, God, I need vision. God, I need direction. God, I need leading. And he says, before I lead you somewhere, I want to make sure your attention's on me. If your attention is not on God, you'll always be misled. So, look, before I gave my heart to the Lord, I didn't grow up in church. I was in college. I played college basketball, and I was in the midst of class three times in a week. I just passed out of nowhere. And the third time I woke up in the hospital and they diagnosed me with a heart condition that I needed to have surgery for. And so I had to stop playing basketball. I was basically doing nothing for a few months. And somebody in my life who had kept inviting me to church, I finally had no real answer to say no. Like, I had no reason to say no. I wasn't busy. I wasn't doing anything. I was like, fine, I will come. right? And I came and my life started to change, but it didn't change. You know, God, I believe that God orchestrated all of that so that I would have nothing else in my life, so that I would only catch his attention. He stopped everything. He said, hey, I've been trying. I will stop at nothing to get your attention. That's how God feels about you. He will stop at nothing to get your attention. But the quicker that you give him your attention, the better it will be for you. So when he gets your attention, then he leads you back to him, and then he can guide you. My life was not changed just by God giving me his attention. It was changed when I started to see him for who he was, and then I started to get his word. Amen. His word is what will change you.
Amen.
He then gave them a promise. If you try to live sign to sign, you're eventually gonna be worn out. It will be, you need the sign that gets your attention, but then you need the word to anchor you. A sign can start things. A sign can get you moving, but the word will get you grounded.
Amen.
The word can become your anchor. And signs are starting points, they're not anchor points, but the word, it can anchor you. He gave them a promise, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So he gives them a sign, and then what? He gives them a promise. This year, God wants to give you a sign so that he will grab your attention, and then he wants to unfold promises to you. God has a promise. He has promises for you for 2026. He has purpose for you for 2026. He has blessing. He has prosperity. He has his will for you in 2026, but it only comes after he gets your attention. Too many times we want the end point without the right starting point. So I just want to give you two quick application points from this passage. And then I want to pray. And I want us to pray in light of 2026. I want us to pray in light of saying, God, I'm not going into 2026 unintentionally. I believe that you have something new for me. I believe that you have something better for me. I believe that you have something that has an eternal purpose for me. Amen? So look, when God leads us, two things take place. Number one, he leads us to the place of worship. And he leads us to the place of worship first. The wise men, the magi, were led to Jesus, but before anything, they bowed down and worshiped him. When worship takes place first, then God can open up everything else to you. What does it say later in Matthew? It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things." Everybody say all these things. All these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. Worship first, and then everything else will be opened up to you. But when you seek God first, when you worship him first, when you lift up your hands and you say, "I'm taking my hands off of my life. I'm taking my hands off of the steering wheel." Then you say, "God, you take control." And when you let God take control, then he can direct you. But until then, you're really just trying to direct and lead your own life. The Magi, they brought gifts. They brought treasure. And that word, even worship in the Greek, it carries the idea of falling down, of bowing low, of showing and expressing reverence, of submitting. And worship is when you bow your heart and open your treasure. That's what the Magi did. They bowed their heart and they opened treasure up to Jesus, the Son of God. You know, we had a whole week of giving gifts, but too many times we think of treasure, gift, as something physical. And it is, sometimes it is that. There's an offering that we bring to God. There's a tithe that we bring to God. But there's also offering. Some of us, it's our own desires. It's, I want this, God. And God says, I want something different for you, and you don't realize how much better it's going to be. Sometimes it's our talent, and it's our time, and it's our It's our treasure. It's what you might be good at or what you have to offer. And God says, hey, I gave you this gift, but I gave you this gift so that, you know, for some of you, it might be so that you can earn a living or A or B or C, but also I gave you this gift so that you could serve me and serve my people. There's a whole group of people. There's dozens of volunteers that while we're here celebrating New Year's Eve on Wednesday, they'll be at Encounter Youth Retreat with our teenagers. There are, I said, dozens of volunteers. They will be driving 5 hours, going to sleep in small cots, in tiny cabins, in weather that's much colder than here. And they'll be doing all of that because they love being around, 100 teenagers all at once, maybe, but probably because they love serving God. And they want to worship God with everything that they have, with their heart, their mind, their soul, but also their talent, their time, and their treasure. I was with one of those volunteers the last 2 days, and we were... I was helping them prepare for their time at Encounter. They've got a responsibility there, and I was helping them. And as I was driving home yesterday, I thought about them, and they have talent, and they have time, and they have treasure that they are not letting go to waste, that they are using for in their worship to God so that God can use it however he wants. And that's what worship is about. It's about bringing it to God, and there's no condition. There's no, it's not for your own gain. It's not for what's in it for me. It's God, you came to this earth as a king, and I will worship you as the only king that's worth being worshiped. The Magi, they were powerful in their own right. There was nothing for them to gain. But God gave them a sign. And he said, come and worship. Because this time, there's something different. There's something special. And there is something that you get from worshiping. And it's not just for yourself. But God realigns all of your priorities. He realigns all of your cares. He realigns all of your anxieties when you put him in the rightful place. So before we can do anything for 2026, we have to put God in his rightful place. Say, God, you alone are worthy of being worshipped. I bow down to you. I bow my heart. I bow my knees. I bow my mind. I bow my talents. I bow down my offering, my sacrifice. God, you have it all. Have your way with my life. When you can say that, the whole world opens up to you because now he can lead you and he's the one who can truly guide us into places of blessing. There was a guy, I was reminded of this earlier, there's a guy, you might know his name, Chuck Colson, and he was a minister for quite a number of years, but before he was a minister, he was like a government official and he worked in the White House. And he's prominent because he got caught up. He was one of the people that got convicted in Watergate. And if you know Watergate, it's the Nixon administration was a number of people were convicted of spying and doing illegal things, and he was one of those. And he was powerful, and he was high up. But God had to get his attention. And when he was in prison serving his sentence, God met him, and he encountered God in such a profound way that when he got out of prison, he devoted the rest of his life to ministry and to prison ministry. When God gets your attention, he realigns everything else, and it doesn't matter. You could be high or you could be low. You could be powerful, you could be poor. You could be wealthy, you could be in need. But God just wants your attention. Amen. If you're online, if you're here in this room, today God wants your attention and he wants you to bow down, and that's it. Amen. He can do everything else. Second thing, when you bow your heart, now God can lead you to your daily destination. Everybody say daily destination. You know, sometimes we talk about, and this is good. It's good to talk like this. What are my goals for 2026? Where do I want to be in three years? What does God have for me in 5 years? What's my life going to look like in 10 years? That's great. Don't stop doing that. But God, what do you want me to do today? God, what do you have for me today? I know what I have. I have my checklist. I have my map for the week. I have my schedule, and I have my appointments, and I have the things that I need to do and that I want to do. But God, what if I set that aside for a moment and I said, what do you want me to do today? Is all of this that I have planned, is this what you want from me? I give you permission, God, to rearrange my schedule. I give you permission, God, to rearrange my plans. When you submit your heart to God, he can then say, hey, great, I'm going to take your life and I'm going to do things another way. I'm going to do things a better way. What does the passage say here? It says at the end of it, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And listen to this. And then, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. God might have another route for you this year. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you into your daily destination, but it might not be the same as he did previous. You might say, oh, but I've always done things this way. Well, God might have another way for you. Amen. Oh, I grew up learning it this way. Well, God might have another way for you. Don't be surprised if God wants to redirect some things this year. I love thinking about it in terms of daily destination, because there are certain places that God has for you today that he wants you to arrive at. There are certain places that God has for you tomorrow. And we hear this word in the world quite a bit, but your divine destiny, your destiny, what God has set you on this earth to do, will be the result of a lot of daily destinations. If you stay faithful to God, where do you want me to be today? God will stay faithful to giving, fulfilling the promise that he has for your life. Thank you, God. I have plans to prosper you and to bless you, not to harm you. He has those for each and every one of you. He has specific plans in 2026 for all of us. And it's the culmination of a lot of daily destinations. He wants to guide you through his word. He wants to lead you through his word. And we have to find him at the throne, and then he'll give us his word. In worship, Pastor John read a passage as he exhorted us. Anybody remember what passage? Psalm 23. The Lord is my, I have everything I need, the New Living Translation says. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. And then he didn't know I was preaching on this today, but then it says this. It says, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people. He is a good shepherd. Amen. He is a faithful shepherd. Amen. And in the Bible, shepherd, it's a loaded word. There's a lot to it. It means to guide, feed, guard, care for. In the Hebrew thought, a shepherd not only drives the sheep from behind, but he also leads from the front. And so the shepherd knows each and every moment, each and every trip, what's best for the sheep. Do I need to go in front of them right now, or do I need to come behind? He knows that, and he operates within that. And in 2026, the good shepherd, he wants to care for you, he wants to lead you, and he wants to protect you. He wants to guard you. This prophecy that the wise men received, it was not only about a birthplace. He's going to be in Bethlehem. It was about a job description. This one that's coming, he's going to be a good shepherd. He's going to do all of these things. The shepherd does not only lead you to green pastures, he also leads you away from the traps. He told the Magi, go another way. This year, there are going to be things, there are going to be ways that God gets your attention, but then there are also going to be things that he's going to want to protect you from, and the world's going to try to get your attention. And when the world tries to get your attention with new opportunities or with things that are going to distract you from God, then you have to be sensitive to say, God, where are you leading me? I want to encourage you. In 2026, you're going to have decisions that can impact your entire future. There are going to be daily decisions that can impact all of your life. There are going to be opportunities that you have that if you take the wrong opportunity, it could derail all of the progress in God that you've had. And God wants to protect you from that. Don't make a move in your family, in your living situation, in your workplace, in your relationships without seeking God and without getting guidance from his word. 2026, let the word anchor you. Signs will get your attention, and that's good. We need our attention on God, but signs will not guide us every step of the way. You need the promise. You need the word from God. You need a promise that says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. And if we step outside of that, now we're just living on our own. And 2026 is the year that God wants to, the Bible says that he orders your footsteps. And you know, I was talking to somebody, it says he orders the footsteps of the righteous. He said, I don't feel like he's ordering my footsteps because I haven't been righteous. And let me tell you something, I don't care what 2025 looked like. If you put your eyes on Jesus, he is the one who makes you righteous. You're not righteous in yourself. I'm not righteous in anything that I do. My deeds are worthless, but the righteousness comes from the Son of God dying on the cross and earning that righteousness for you. So yes, he orders the steps of the righteous. And who here is righteous? Who here is righteous? Raise your hand. Have you accepted the blood of Christ? You're righteous. Do you believe in the Son of God? You're righteous. Have you accepted that he died for your sins? You are righteous. He is ordering your steps. He wants to guide you. Now, our steps don't automatically, we are not robots. He orders our steps. Our feet don't automatically fall in line with the steps. His word will guide you every step of the way. Let 2026 be a year where God gets your attention and God puts the word into you. I read this week about a story guy's name was Rick Rescarola. And Rick was a security guard for a bank that had its offices in the World Trade Center. And in the late 90s, Rick was the head of security there, and he was like obsessive about doing like safety drills. And meanwhile, there's plenty of other businesses in the World Trade Center. They weren't all doing these same drills, but he was like obsessive. He had signs everywhere on, if this happens, you do this. If this happens, you do this. He would have weekly different rotating drills that would come at times that people were frustrated with. They were not ideal times. They were in meetings or they were doing business, and he would have a fire drill. And it became a running joke for some of the employees and even people in other parts of the World Trade Center. And you know where this is going. Yeah. Until 9/11 happened. And when 9/11 happened, Rick saw, Rick had prepared for that moment. But he had prepared for that moment on behalf of thousands of other people. 2,000 people in that office were saved because when everything broke loose, they looked to Rick, and Rick didn't panic. Rick didn't ask for permission to guide people a certain way. He didn't have to hesitate. No, he knew everything what to do. And they had a little bit of a foundation, but they knew that they could just look to him and they were going to guide him one step after the other. In 2026, God just, when it seems like a fire is breaking out or there's an attack or there's something unexpected, all you have to do is look to him and take his next step. You don't need to know 50 steps down the line. It's the next step. It's the daily destination. The Bible says tomorrow has enough worries on its own. He's going to take care of them. All you have to do is worry about today. So listen, will you stand with me? I want to close. And I want to close by I want to close with this. You know, in that time of Herod, there were a lot of lives lost and derailed because of an evil plan. But because of the leading of Joseph and the obedience and leading of the wise men, a baby was protected and saved, and their own lives were protected and saved. This year, God wants the good shepherd. He wants to protect you. He wants to guard you. He wants to lead you and guide you out of darkness and into the light. We sang earlier, his goodness is running after you. It is running after you. It is running after you. It is chasing you. He's a good shepherd. Sometimes he leads from the front, but sometimes he leads from behind. And when he sees you start to be derailed, he wants to take his shepherd staff and bring you right back into the pack. But it starts with bowing before him.